Dear friends, this weekend we celebrate the life and ministry of Norm Nelson, and we want you to join us. I truly mean that. We have a beautiful location reserved just off the I-5 freeway in Laguna Woods for Sunday, May 28th at 2:30 p.m. It might be the most inspiring hour of your whole month. The location is Lutheran Church of the Cross, 24231 El Toro Road, Laguna Woods, California. Please, friends, if at all possible, join us for this inspiring, worshipful hour as we celebrate an amazing and truly adventurous life. Norm Nelson. I'll be there with my family, Sharon Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio staff. It will be a perfect time for you to get to know the folks that bring this program to you every day. We'd love to fill this place with wonderful friends like you. For those of you who would love to come but just cannot for any reason, please consider sending an email today, sharing your thoughts, your prayers, and encouragements. Just use Norm's ministry account, normnelson@compassionradio.com. That's normnelson@compassionradio.com. If Norm has ever encouraged you to do more with your faith walk, if you've ever wanted to express your gratitude for what's happened through this ministry in your life, now is the time to do it.
The following program is from the Compassion Radio Archives and originally aired in September of 2014.
On today's Compassion Radio.
He would practice sharing the gospel with the trees as if they were people. And the message that he received from the Lord was that in this place that he had learned to speak the gospel, he was going to use him for the ministry. He finished praying and turned around and saw a village that he'd never seen before. Went into the village and began preaching the gospel. And he's been there since that day.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Welcome to Compassion Radio, where we take you straight to the front lines of faith. I'm Bram Floria, and I'm going to take you around the world today, 12,000 miles all the way to India, as a matter of fact. So we're going to jump right to it with a special report from the field. Well, today on Compassion Radio, I'm excited to have a very special guest to me with me on the radio. Dempsey Claire Miller Floria, better known as Demi to her friends and family, my daughter, all the way from India. Girl, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to hear you.
Always a pleasure to hear my daughter. And now the whole world gets to hear you, too.
Actually, that's something I've been telling some of the pastors and people that I've interviewed over here, is that their voices are going to be sent all the way around the world, and that usually tickles them. They laugh pretty hard at that.
And they might be surprised by how far that reach really goes. And today we're going to highlight a couple of special things that you've experienced just in the past couple weeks over there. But tell me, what's happening right now? What's been going on in India this week?
Well, today is India's Independence Day. It's their 68th Independence Day.
Such a young little country.
Sort of. a young country with age-old traditions. So we had lots of interesting ceremonies that I was a part of.
So what did you do?
There was a track meet.
Well, that's interesting.
It happened at the community college today. Lots of martial arts. I didn't realize that martial arts was included in track meet, but
that's great.
It was a lot of fun.
Did you participate?
I didn't. I was in the spectators box. They had a little pavilion set up for us. I did get to award several medals, so that was fun.
Very good. Always better to hand out the medals than to get beat up for it, huh?
Yes. And they're pretty competitive, so there was definitely a little bit of beating that went on.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that the beatings haven't been too heavy on you, but I understand a couple of times you've been sick since you've been there because there's so many people that you're visiting and sharing time with. It's an important part of your experience there, but it does have its risks. So how has your health been?
Well, the past week and a half or so has not been that great. I think since I traveled outside of Salem, I must have picked up a bug or a virus or something. My stomach has not been quite right. Other than that, I was sick for maybe a couple of days right at the very beginning of my time here, and that was because, like you said, time spent with children that live here. I live in a compound called Sharon Gardens in Salem. There is about 500 people that live on this compound, and I think about 250 to 300 of them are children between the ages of 5 and 11 or so. They come from villages all over Tamil Nadu, which is the state that I live in, and they carry all sorts of viruses and things that are not common to my Western body.
Yeah.
Most of them have lice, so that's something I'm trying to avoid as well.
What do they do to deal with the lice when they get there?
Most of them are pretty much bald. The hair is cut very short. We go around with lice combs and try to take care of that.
And that's because you're dealing with the children that are the poorest of the poor at that particular compound.
Yes, absolutely. The children that live here, if they have a parent that is alive, are well below the poverty line. Most of them have a parent that's either dead or an alcoholic or out of the picture. And the other parent works for manual labor, or they do some sort of job that's considered the low caste jobs. They get paid very, very little, if anything, a handful of food at the end of the day. So these children, their parents can't provide for them. So they're sent here to live at Sharon Gardens 24/7 year-round. Every couple of months, they have a parent visiting day, but it's not often that the parents get to see their children.
Have you had a chance to see one of those visitations?
Yes, I was here one day. There was four or five women standing out in the compound, and I never did sort out which children were actually theirs because all the children were gathered around. They were very sweet. They were obviously very thankful for what IGL was doing for their children, and they were a little bit in awe, I think, of the conditions their children were living in just because they were so much better than what they could provide for them. And you could tell, too, that the children didn't really know what to do because they're growing up with house parents that are much more involved and active in their lives than their actual biological parents. So it's not a perfect solution, obviously, but it's definitely much better than what they have at home.
I think it's important to distinguish between a perfect solution and a godly one. The India Gospel League are very active in doing the right, the godly, the righteous thing to rescue those who are destitute. You mentioned poverty a while ago. It's a totally different concept in India than it is here at home.
Yes.
When they say poverty, what do they mean?
For an Indian, poverty would be you have no stable structure that you can live in. You have no guarantee that you will have food for the day. You have little or no access to clean water. And if you do have access, it's too expensive. You have no way of providing education for your children. To go to school, you have to provide your children with uniforms and with their own textbooks and their own school supplies. And that, for a lot of families, that's not affordable. For their wages, it barely cover food and water for their daily needs.
And I assume because the kids are starting out with such destitution that by the time they get to Sharon, when they meet you, they may not have been at the compound very long, so they've carried with them this legacy of unhealthiness. Part of the mission for Sharon is to get them healthy, and it takes time. People that work with them are at risk, aren't they?
Yeah, the people here are constantly putting themselves at risk, and I know that those that have lived here longest definitely have the strongest immune systems, and those like me that come in fresh from the United States, they get sick pretty quickly, and it's not something that I had thought much about, but it does make sense. But, you know, I would rather spend my days among the children, loving on them and letting them climb on my back and letting them kiss my cheeks, being the hands and the voice of the parents that they don't have, and get sick than avoid them and, you know, miss out on the opportunity I have to love them and to be loved by them, because they're very loving. They're a bit overwhelming at times. Sometimes it feels like you're being swarmed by ants. They like to crawl all over top of you and touch every part of your body that they can. But they're so loving, and they have so much love to give. It's really very precious.
You and your sister started this adventure together, and you are about 8 weeks now into your 20-week adventure, and Lyric was with you for about six of those. What was it like exploring another culture, having a mission goal together? And then how was it when you separated and you began a whole new phase of your adventure?
She was involved in all the decisions that were made. And this first couple of weeks that she was here, everything that we were figuring out, you know, everything that was new and that we were exploring, we were doing it together. So I didn't feel like the big sister and she was the little sister, or vice versa. We were just colleagues in a sense. Like,
yes,
we were figuring it out together. And there was also another girl that was with us who was from Ohio, Adrian Moncrief. And she was a huge help as well. Just the three of us were all kind of newbies together. And I don't know how I would have done it without them, honestly. There's so much that I didn't understand. I still don't understand. But especially those first couple weeks would have been extremely overwhelming and extremely taxing. I don't want to say that I would have come home, but I definitely would have wanted to just turn around and come home if I had faced all this on my own.
And no matter how much time your mom and dad spend preparing you for the weightiness of the experience, you don't know it till you've experienced it yourself. And so us turning you loose to experience that, even though you had the support of your sister with you, was a big step of faith for us as parents. It's still hard to let you go, but we are proud of you. What is unique and different about the experience since you've been more on your own?
Well, honestly, I was very worried that I was not going to be mentally prepared for her to leave. And even up until the day that she left, I turned around and looked at my room that was empty of her and her belongings and thought, how am I going to do this? And God knew at that moment exactly what I needed. And I quickly had the opportunity to travel with one of the pastors, Pastor Benny, and a small team from the U.S. that traveled around for about a week going to different pastors' training conferences. And that's when I started having the opportunity to do interviews with pastors and church members and regional coordinators with IGL. And that was a bit of a change of pace after a little over a month that I had spent teaching English, editing documents into English from Tamil, and just spending a lot of time with children. Now, all of a sudden, spending most of my time with adults. And it was really good. It was really encouraging because I had new colleagues and new partners that I could relate to and that I had community with. And God knew at that time that's exactly what I needed. It wasn't as difficult of a transition as I thought it was going to be. And since Lyric has left and Adrian left the next day, the teams that have been coming from the U.S., from Germany, from Australia, it's been almost a constant flow of people coming and going. And so almost every day there's a new face to meet or to greet in the dining hall in the morning, and just to walk another team through orientation. And that's part of my job as a long-term intern here, is to do orientation for the Western teams that do come and stay for a week or two at a time.
That's a very important role in missions, helping others who want to serve to be better prepared to serve. So you're in a great position for that. What's the biggest challenge you see in equipping people for their short stays in India?
In many ways, I do feel kind of like a stepping stone between the Western world and then this world that I live in right now. I'd say the biggest challenge is they spend a short amount of time here, so they have a limited number of opportunities to grasp the full range of ministry that's happening here, and so I want to encourage them to take advantage of every opportunity they have. At the same time, I know certain activities will be difficult. Like, I know that playing with the children all afternoon, although you want to play with them for 4 hours straight, will take a huge toll on your body and will be detrimental to your health. Like I mentioned earlier, you probably will get sick, especially the first time. And so it's kind of a balance between wanting them to be able to take full advantage and encouraging them to, but also warning them and help them be aware of the physical strain on your body is much higher, even in simple activities in India, because everything is just much more raw and much more taxing.
I agree. There's not been a time I've traveled internationally where there hasn't been at least a phase where you go through an emotional, cultural, spiritual, and physical shock to the system. And you have to go through those steps one at a time in order to get to the place where you're back at your fighting strength. It takes people like you to help soften the blow sometimes for folks to make the most out of the opportunity. And I'm glad you're the person there to do it. I know you're a great, great guide. Demi, it's been great so far, and I'm glad to get a picture of your experience so far. In the next section of the program, we're going to hear a couple of stories, interviews that you did while you were traveling, and I'll have you set those up when we come back. You're listening to Compassion Radio, and we have Demi Floria on the line from India today, serving with the India Gospel League. We'll be back with more stories and some interviews that she did on the road after this.
My friend, there's nothing in either Christian radio or on secular radio like Compassion Radio. Just think about it. First-hand, on-site programming right from the war zones of Afghanistan and Iraq. From the capital city of Burma, speaking to Christian converts from Buddhism. From Gaza, from Natanz, where one of Iran's biggest nuclear reactors is located, and from other international hotspots, you'll hear a message of hope based on what the living Christ is doing in all of these places. And you'll also learn what you can do. But listen, my friend, since we are a 100% listener-supported program, if you haven't given before, make this the occasion to join in with our Compassion Corps.
You can reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. Friends, we don't go unless you go with us. So give us a call today. Okay, we're back with Demi Floria reporting from India with the India Gospel League this month. And she's staying there for about 6 months of intensive internship, learning more and more about the global impact of the gospel, especially in South Asia right now. And she's been on the road with influential people in different regions of the country. And I want her to set up a couple of these stories right now. Demi, what's the first interview?
The first interview that you're going to hear is with a man named Pastor Roach Alexander. I met Pastor Roach in a town called Dindigul. This was at Pastor Lazarus's church-based ministry training program. Pastor Lazarus is the regional coordinator. It's really a Bible college in all practical functions, equipping people to disciple people. They spend a year of intensive study 3 days a week, all day long. The other 4 days of the week, they're going back to their home villages and they're putting these things into practice. He had a personal miracle that literally touched me. I was able to hold his 2-year-old daughter. Didn't even realize it at the time that I was holding and playing with her. She was prophesied over before she was born. Tells me a little bit about how that came about and how that led him personally into the ministry.
All right, this is Demi Floria on the road in India with Pastor Roach.
We're here at the Lazarus Bible College, and you are a former student of the training program here?
Yes, I'm now the...
Yeah, I completed this course 3 years ago.
And you are now working as a pastor?
Yes, I'm working as a pastor.
How did God lead you specifically to the village that you're working in?
This is my native village. So after I came to know God, and I found that almost more than 3,000 people live in that village without knowing God. So I thought that God has chosen me to preach the gospel to these people first. So I started ministry there.
Was it difficult to return home with a different faith than you left with?
In the beginning, people didn't accept me. But they thought I'm accepted a new religion. So they talk against me. They hurt me.
How did you first come to know Jesus?
In 1994, I came to know the Lord. My father was alcoholic at that time. And one pastor came and he said, maybe we can share the gospel and we can pray for him and he may be released from this alcoholic problem. So the pastor approached him and they counseled him and they shared the gospel with him. And he accepted Christ and also he came out of addiction. And then he was living a good Christian. But before he was about to take baptism, but just before the baptism, he died. So that experience impacted my life. Though my father was willing to be baptized, but he couldn't have that opportunity. So it gave me the burden to share the people. Those lots of people don't know about him still.
How old were you when your father passed away?
I was 14.
He was 46 years old only. We have 4 children. I'm the youngest one.
So your older siblings, do they follow the same path that you did and become dedicated to the gospel? Or is your story unique?
The 3 children became a Christian. The eldest one, he's still struggling with that.
How have you seen God move in supernatural ways in your ministry?
There are lots of wonders and power works in my own life, which become a testimony to others.
Can you give an example?
There was a problem for my wife for a childbirth. So doctors said it's may not possible. So you can go for a test tube child. It's very hard for you to have a natural process. 3 times she was aborted. So doctor said no way to have a baby again. But we both, husband and wife, said to doctors that we will not come back because they spend almost 300,000 rupees for the treatment. And they waited for 2 years. So they said we will not come back again to the hospital. If God wants to give a child, then he will find a way for us. So they came and they had a special prayer meeting in the church. So for 3 days, people prayed and participated in the fasting prayer. The 3rd day, the 3 pastors were praying with them, said that God will give you a child. So then after they said, after 3 days, he was conceived again. Then they went to the doctor, everything was normal. And after 10 months, they got a first baby. And so that's when the doctor said there is no way for a baby, but God made the way for them. And and they have a child.
That's incredible. Yeah. And that you get to share that testimony with your church.
Yes.
Church
yes,
come alongside yeah, yes. you to pray with you for yeah. that.
So that the whole people know about the story. So
yes.
that's, they know that God has done this for them. So it's a testimony for them.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing. The joy in your face yeah. is evident, I can tell.
Yeah, the child also here now.
Oh, yes. Can I meet?
Yeah.
Photo.
That's the one that I was taking a photo of before?
Yes.
What's the child's name?
Abita.
Abita.
Yes.
Okay. I'll look forward to meeting her.
Okay.
Thank you.
Demi, that was an incredible story. You have one more you want to share with us today, and this is from Pastor Michael. Tell us about him.
Yes, Pastor Michael is also a current student at Pastor Lazarus's Bible College. Pastor Michael, when I first met him, was very shy, very timid. I think he was a little bit afraid of the microphone. And he started out speaking very softly, but as he got into his story of how God led him specifically to his village, he became animated and kind of came alive with his testimony. The reason that it struck me was because his particular story about how God led him to his village that he is currently planting a church in. He told me when I first met him that he was terrified when he first was saved that God was going to call him to be a preacher because he's always been timid and he's afraid of speaking in front of people. Well, sure enough, God did call him into the ministry as a preacher. He used to go up on a hill above a village that he lived in at the time, and he would practice sharing the gospel with the trees. So he would speak to the trees as if they were people, and he would practice sharing the gospel. He said that as he became more comfortable sharing the gospel with these trees, and he became more comfortable in his ability to articulate the gospel, God spoke to him, and the message that he received from the Lord was that in this place that he had learned to speak the gospel clearly and boldly, he was going to use him for the ministry in that very same place. And at the time, there was no village on this hill or anywhere near. He finished praying and turned around, and all of a sudden he saw a village that he'd never seen before on the other side of that hill. So he walked into the village and began preaching the gospel, and he's been there since that day.
Wow. This is Demi with Pastor Michael in India.
Can you tell us your name?
Michael Sahayaraj. Yeah, Michael Sahayaraj.
Okay, thank you. I would try to pronounce it, but I probably won't do it correctly. How did God originally lead you to the village that you do ministry in?
In the year 2002, I used to go to a hill nearby that village. I go to myself to pray and wait on God's presence. So I used to go there and pray and spend some time there. And also, I didn't know how to share the gospel with the people. So I used to be alone and I used to speak to the trees there. So I was practicing how to share the gospel with the people in front of the tree. So in that time, when I did that, during the prayer time, the Lord inspired me that He's going to use me in that same place. But I don't know where the village is at the time. So I was continuing, then I was able to find a village nearby. So I started my ministry there in 2006. I went and started to share the gospel with them. People came to me with the prayer needs. They said, there is a problem, can you pray? So I started to pray for those people, and Lord started to work in their lives by healings and solving their problems. So that gave me an open door to share the gospel with them. And slowly I started to build a relationship with the people and started the church there.
Wow, that's an incredible story. I like that very much. When you came to this college, what was your expectation? What did you hope to gain from the training that you received here?
Before coming here, I used to read Bible and Old Testaments about the tabernacle, the law. Then I also read Revelations, the coming back and all the things, but which I'm not able to understand much. So I thought I can come here and learn the scripture so that I can understand and teach and preach. When I came here, not only the things I want, but I able to understand the whole scripture. They're able to teach me the whole Bible survey. And so I able to learn all the scripture and able to understand. Now I know at least to how to interpret the word and to teach people.
That was going to be my next question. How has God surpassed your expectations of what you learned here?
Yeah. So
that He's faithful to expand our minds when we're seeking Him.
This helped me to come to this course and able to learn. Now as a family, we are able to involve ministry.
Very good. Family business.
Yeah.
How can we pray for you in your ministry in particular?
The first prayer request is pray the Lord may give more souls for our ministry. Second is pray for the new souls to grow in the Lord, and they have to be true witnesses in their own village. Of course, pray for our family, and God is faithful to take care of all our needs. God is leading us good way. And pray for the need of piece of land so that we can have our own church building in the village. It will be great helpful for the future ministry.
You currently don't have a building where you can meet as a congregation?
They had a thatched roof shed in one place.
A thatched roof shed?
Yeah. And they were worshipping for 6 years. But because of rain and storm, it was collapsed. And then one of the believers was building a new house. Then he said, you can use this house till you get a place. So for 6 months' time, we are using that house. one of the believers' house.
You're currently meeting in a believer's home.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for sharing. And thank you for your faithfulness to the ministry here. We will be praying for you to continue to learn and to understand the gospel and the Bible more.
Demi, those are both incredible stories, and that's just from one little corner of India. Tomorrow, we're going to take you on the road to another place and find out some more fascinating things that God is doing through regular people all across India. We look forward to hearing more from you tomorrow.
Yes, thank you for having me. We'll be going to the village of Aralapchi to a church dedication with my friend Pastor Johnson. We'll also be traveling to Coimbatore, which is one of the most economically developed cities in southern India, and meeting with a church planter who has been active in Coimbatore for over 20 years. I look forward to sharing those stories with you tomorrow.
We're excited too, baby. We'll see you tomorrow.
And now a closing word on this month's special project.
This month, we can join with Bibles for the World in their Great Commission mission to bring the Word to more villages and language groups that have never had or held their own Bibles. Each bundle of 50 Gospels of John can be printed, delivered, and distributed for only $25. And full Bibles can be placed in believers' hands for $6 a copy. As you support Compassion Radio and our Bibles for India project this month, we have a token of thanks to help you prepare for Father's Day. For your gift of any size, we'll send you 5 meaningful minutes for dads. Give us a call at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or you can always reach out to us on our safe and secure website, CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again tomorrow for our next edition of Compassion Radio.